At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
She's a woman on a mission over there.
She's here.
Is your microphone working?
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Darling? Darling?
So, my mom, shout out to my mom, is
turning
70 this year.
Good job.
Really good job. Really good job. And for her 70th, my dad was so funny. He texted, nailing it. He texted us. He was like, what should we do for mom's, what should we do for mom's birthday? So he texted me and my siblings. Mom's hearing this. So cat's out of the bag. And so one of my siblings was like, want to do a party or a trip? And my dad was like, why not both? And so I sent this email that I was like, here's my dream. We do a trip. We do two surprise parties. Like, I just wanted to have a blowout. And I get a call from my mom 2 days ago, and she's like, Carrie, hey, I heard that you wanted to do a party. So fun. I don't want to do a party. And I think part of me, and I told her, I said, part of me, I think, wanted to do this because I wanted to take a little control away from her. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, to force, like, to, and so that she had no part in it and it would have been fun and my brother's band would play. And anyway, so the pitch she now has is going on a 3-day cruise around Thanksgiving.
Hey, we did that last year. So
I know, I wanted
to
ask you.
I have some advice.
Tell me the advice, actually, because I do, and my mom's going to be listening to this, so, Mom, tune in.
Try to pick a cruise that has a lot of kid-friendly activities. Ours had soft serve, which was enough. Like, that was plenty of activities for my kids. They were like, this is perfect.
Wait, what cruise did you take? Royal Caribbean?
It was Royal Caribbean. It was, yeah, it was, I would say, the one thing that really bothered me was that they didn't let kids in the escape room, and they didn't have any kid programming. The kid zone looked so depressing.
Was lame as fuck.
Yeah, it was just like a room with nothing in it and kids watching TV. Don't pack a wine in your bag. It'll break.
They'll take it out.
No, it'll break, and
wait,
all your
where
stuff
did you
will have
go,
wine on
where
it.
Did you go on the cruise?
Escondido, Mexico.
Oh, this is a, we would be leaving in Florida. And going to, like, the Bahamas.
Like a Caribbean island, yeah.
Yeah, which I've never been to a Caribbean island, so I kind of love that.
Yeah, you'll have a blast. It's going to be so fun. I mean, just being with the family will be really fun. Yeah. I liked just that we all had dinner, big dinners together every night, and that part's really fun. I think what was, oh, you know what's tricky about a cruise? You guys have little kids that I hadn't thought about, but then when we were on it, I was like, oh. What's nice when you're all staying in a house together is when the kids go to bed, everybody can, like, play a game or do a thing, and especially the cruise will have a lot of nighttime programming that's like this show, this event, and for me and Brianna, we would put our kids to bed and then we would be stuck because you can't leave your kids alone on a cruise ship and go to those things. But if you were in a house, you could all be together, but instead we couldn't really hang out together when it was bedtime because it was just like, it's like we had a curfew and we had to find bad TV on our, in our room.
Right.
And
that is,
that was
is,
a bummer.
I am worried about that. Well, because don't you remember there was, I think there was a woman who was accused of leaving her kids unattended on a cruise.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I can see why you would want to. Like, basically, the cruise will have all these fun things for you to do at night, and you'll be trapped in your room.
Yeah, what do you do about that? That's
helpful.
We
stayed in our room. It was not great. And Matt and Josh went and saw a show together, which I do like. And then Josh was doing really funny impressions of the show, which was apparently very old school, very like, a very gay man singing about how he loves women and being like, I love all kinds of ladies. And then the ladies would come out of feathers. It was old school.
Did I ever tell you when we went on a cruise to Alaska, there was like a world music crew? There was a world music show, and it was one of the most offensive things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
They did world music. So they like explored music from like all over the globe in this mostly white like group of people. Mm-hmm. Patterned, is it a dashiki or is it like having white people come out in dashikis and sing Lion King feels offensive to call that world music or sing like Toto's Africa. It just was one of those things where you're like, what? And the old people were like jamming, like loving every second. I feel like, did we learn nothing? But I think, to be fair, I think like cruise ships are kind of like a shitty club in Europe. I think time freezes and they're like 20 years behind. That's my pitch.
I do think cruises are stuck in time. Like we should definitely give them a pass.
It actually makes sense because the people on the cruise are leaving their family and friends. Are stuck in time and are on like 9 month long treks around and meeting new people. Like you're stuck. It's wild. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's
like,
wild.
I would say that what is cool about a cruise is that being on it, a cruise is not my favorite kind of vacation. Being on it with little kids and being like, we're on a boat and then the boat's going to leave and we're like, bye. And then we go somewhere else and you can look outside and see that we're going somewhere else. All that was very cool to them. And so getting to show my kids that, and Cole thought that was very cool. So
yeah,
that I think that part of it, that piece of the puzzle is really nice. And if I went on another trip, a big family trip, I would rather be in a big house where we can all be together all day and all night and never say goodnight and never say goodbye.
What a creep you are. What a creepy creep you are.
I just love my family.
Change. Another thing I have to tell you is I'm reading the last available Horny Dragon book.
Okay. Are you sad that you're almost done?
I mean, I'm voraciously reading. I couldn't sleep last night, and so I read until 3 in the morning.
That doesn't sound healthy. I'm going to level
with
you.
No, it doesn't, but it's there, and I wasn't tired, and I was in a good part. Well, when you're in an exciting part in the book.
Yeah, that is hard. And
you're like, and you're just like, what are these dragons going to say? You know what I mean? Like, what is happening? They met all these dragons.
You are Koa. It's shocking. And that's why it makes sense that this weekend we're all going together to Medieval Times.
Medieval Times.
I did tell Jamila I was going to Medieval Times last night, and she was like, with kids? And I was like, yeah. I looked at her, I said, no, I'm going alone. I just got one ticket. Is that weird? I think it'll be fun. She looked at me like with murder in her eyes, and I was like, all right, I'm going with kids. But come on. Like, what a question.
You know, it's not a question. There are people that go to Medieval Times with
grown-ups. No, I know. I love a good time. And if I didn't have kids, I would go to Medieval Times with grown-ups. If you have kids and then you elect you go to go without them, that is the judgment I'm giving that you're sensing in me.
You know, like, it was so funny. And we were talking
about I'm going. Like, it would be like if I took a trip to Disney with just Matt and we got a sitter. Like, it's just, it's not a weird move.
People do that. Here's what I think is funny is that when we were initially going to Medieval Times and talking about it at one of your backyard hangs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm just having flashbacks to the AI of it all. Oh God, that was a dark time this week. That was really, really dark. One night
the AI cartoon that Spen made of you where you look so disgusting. You look like a monster. And then he was showing you the one it made of him and Adam, and it was so handsome. That was really funny. Well, mine looks really bad, too. You bad in like a different way. I look like a weird school marm.
Truly?
I made him remake mine.
Does it look better?
Yeah. You just need to be like, can you use more pictures? I don't think that AI knows my
beauty
yet.
Why does it think I have 20 chins?
1,000 chins. Oh, the woman of 1,000 chins. And like, you're so red. You're like beet red. It's so gross.
It's really, what's the most?
And you're like all, you're all gums. Like, it's very intense. You have like 3 yellow teeth. You look like an ogre.
I was cackling so hard. And the funny thing is like, I see how it looked like me. Like, I saw.
No, it did not.
No, I saw it. I saw where, what it was holding on to, and I was like,
it's grasping at straws. Grasping
but I saw
straws.
The straws. I saw where the straws were placed.
Like, okay.
I was like, okay. It was the most. I like would post it online, but I'm worried that something.
Your mother would have a heart attack. Please don't do that to her. Carrie, take it down.
It
I don't like
truly,
it. It's not funny.
We call her the Beast. She is truly, I mean, when I tell you, it's just like the most offensive thing. And I, oh God, it was so bad. Do you think if we promoted that we're going to put the Spencer generated AI on our Patreon, do you think people would join?
People will join just for that. Let's see what happens. Okay. I'll put it up. I'll put it up today.
We should put it when this episode is revealed. Because otherwise there's no context.
A lot of coordination. You're going to remember when that happens?
Yes, because I'm going to post it. I'm going to remind
And you're
going to
know
ass.
This was the episode where we did that? The organization
Quinn,
completely
Quinn,
fails
not,
me.
Quinn, look at the episode. We're recording 2:30. All right, so we're posting the AI, the Spencer AI, come after this episode is out, and you're fucking welcome. And join Patreon. That's the plug.
Who goes first? I mean, welcome to Truly Darkly Creepily. Who goes
oh,
first?
Oh, yeah. It's me. I go first. Oh, my God.
Say what
Sorry.
You have
I'm
to
like,
say.
Say what you have to say. I'm still dying over that fucking... Oh, this is what I wanted to say before I got rudely interrupted by my own imaginary thoughts about AI. Is we were at a barbecue and one of your friends was in the backyard and I was talking, I was like, I'm so excited, I'm going to medieval times. And she looked at me like I was absolutely unhinged.
Was
insane.
It Hillary?
Yes.
I feel like it'd be
and
Hillary.
She looked at me and she's like, wait,
You're
I know
going?
They're, she's like, I know they're going cause they have kids. Why are you going?
Why are you attending what? That?
Why would you do that? And I was like, why would I not? And she was like absolutely gobsmacked, appalled that
genuinely
me, an adult
appalled.
Human, would go to medieval times. And you know me, I'm for the fun. I'm a gal who loves a good time. I'm
She's
a yes
for the people.
Girl. I'm for the people. I just like
I carry
I like,
for the people, what we all
I
need.
I live in fear of a FOMO. I'll tell you that in the Patreon because I'm starting a new thing today. We'll see if it works, if I keep up with it. But
okay.
I'm here for the fun. And why wouldn't I go and enjoy a weird chicken dinner while watching actors joust? Also,
who
and
wouldn't want to do that?
And she was like, I would never want to do that. And I fear that my children will be lacking in experiences because I will refuse to participate. And I was like... I get that. Like, I get capitalism is popping off and do we want to contribute? Like, I get all of that. And, like, let's raise artful kids. But also, like, who
What
doesn't...
if you need to time travel because we start to wreck the world and we need to go back to a time of jousting and she's the fool that doesn't know anything about it while the rest of us have been doing our homework? Who will survive?
Do you have teeth blackout shit?
No.
Damn. I really wanted us to go as wenches.
I know. I really like that idea. Maybe if you order it now, it'll come in time.
I don't want to spend extra money.
Okay.
Right?
I think it's
fair.
Probably worth it, but...
Oh, it might be worth it. Oh, but it's... Ugh.
Those pictures right. will last forever.
Maybe AI will generate...
Oh, maybe we could just go in and correct the picture. Put in some black tooth.
Remove teeth.
AI, please remove several teeth from this picture. and we got to just sub in the picture AI already made of you, because that is a bar wench if I've ever seen one.
I don't think that person's a bar wench. They're a kitchen maid, because they should not be customer facing.
Put her in the back. Put her in the back.
That woman, are you kidding? Wenches should be a little sexy, should be like a little bit like trying to lure men to get their money. This woman is a scullery maid, and this woman is making all boners just fall at
fall right off the body, run in fear, detach and leave the scene. Yeah, it's dangerous.
it's really, when you're a person in the world and you already have, you know, maybe confidence issues, things like that, to have AI confront you with an image of you that is possibly like the most horrific version of yourself, I would love it if it made me be like, I'm beautiful now compared to, but it doesn't.
It did.
Okay. Well, I got this information from Wikipedia, Vibe, People, Rolling Stone, an article by Niall Capello, and it was great, and the Atlanta Black Star. I want to take you to Cummings, Georgia. And I want to introduce you to Tamla Horsford.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
She is born in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and she moves to the Bronx in 1989. She then goes on to meet her husband in Florida, and she has a daughter from an earlier relationship, but then her and her husband have 5 boys. Really intense. A lot of boys in that family.
Yeah.
It's 2018, and she's 40 years old, mother of 5, and her youngest is 4 at the time. And the moms in this football team are all hanging out, and one of the moms' birthday celebration is what she wants to do is she wants to have a teenage sleepover party, which sounds fun. You know, all the moms come. Obviously, some moms, you don't have to sleep over. But the idea is, let's all drink. Let's all have fun. Let's not worry about getting home. Have a breakfast the next morning. Let's go. So it's one of the moms' 45th birthday, and it's November 3rd, 2018. She gets to the party, and there's an article that says she gets there at 8:30. There's an article that says she gets there at 10. Either way, what we know is she makes dinner for her family, and then she comes to this party. The party is consisting of 9 women, 2 men, and 1 husband. But the one husband only dropped off and picked up his wife. The other 2 men are like boyfriends and friends of the host or whatever. Like the boy, Jose Barrera, I believe, is the boyfriend of the host. And so he's there with like his guy friend, whatever. So Tamla shows up. She brings her overnight bag. She has a bottle of tequila. And she gets there and she changes into her white onesie pajamas with paw prints on them. The moms are drinking, they're laughing, they're watching football, they're playing Cards Against Humanity. There's videos of them singing happy birthday, there's photos of them sitting on the couch together, having a good time. And according to those at the party, Tamla is the only habitual smoker, so occasionally she would go outside to the balcony and she would smoke cigarettes. Apparently she would also smoke weed, and some of the women called her like the female Bob Marley. The host's boyfriend, this guy Jose Barrera, he's this pre-trial officer, and I guess he didn't really approve of the weed smoking. Anyway, The event seems fun. Photos are taken. It's 11:30 and people start leaving for the night who are not staying overnight. And those who are staying the night start going to bed over the next couple of hours. The host and Barrera, I don't know the host's name. The women's names were taken out of these articles, and I figure you probably don't need to know them necessarily. But the host and her boyfriend, Jose Barrera, go to bed at 1:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then another mom, whose husband is getting her at 1:47 in the morning, she heads out and she sees Tamla eating a bowl of gumbo. And Tamla says that before bed, she's going to go smoke a cigarette and go to sleep. The home has a home security system which registers the back door opening and closing at 1:57 in the morning. Everybody's asleep. The next morning at 8:45... the host's aunt, who lives in the house, she goes downstairs into the kitchen to make her morning cup of coffee, and she looks outside the window to the backyard, and she sees something strange. She sees Tamla Horsford lying face down and motionless in the grass under the porch in her pajamas. She immediately runs to her niece and tells her something was wrong with her, quote, friend from the islands. Like I said, she was born in the Caribbean.
Okay. Feels a little racially loaded still.
It does feel racially. And you're going to find out. I mean,
that's
do you know
about
Bob this
Marley
case?
Bob Marley nickname.
Do you know about this case?
I do know about this case. I've read about it, but not extensively. I'm glad you're, like, going through it. And I do know that there's a lot of questions.
There's a lot of questions.
That remain.
And, I mean, spoiler, I mean, I was, what is important to know at this sleepover, I was going to say this later, but what's important to know at this sleepover is that Tamla is the only black woman there.
Mm-hmm.
So these microaggressions of calling her the female Bob Marley and this aunt saying your friend from the islands, there's just certain things that just feel bad, right? It's 8:59 in the morning and we have a 911 call from Jose Barrera. In the call, he says, she's not moving one bit. She's not breathing. She's completely face down in the yard. She is stiff. She was drinking, and it looks like, I'm guessing maybe she fell off the balcony. He also mentions a small cut on her wrist, suggesting it might be self-inflicted, and a woman's voice is heard on the call saying that maybe she fell from the balcony. The police get there 8 minutes later at 9:07, and she's gone. She is not alive. When the police inform Tamla's husband, this is where it gets challenging because they do not corner off the crime scene. They do not preserve the crime scene. They don't know if it's a crime scene at this point, but early on in the investigation, a police officer will tell her husband, hey, she tripped over some garden edging and had a fatal injury. And the aunt who lives there is like, yeah, I've stumbled on it in the past. And they say, so.
Then I'm not dead because that's not how you die.
That's not how you die. And so they bring the coroner over and they find multiple injuries related to blunt force trauma. They see she has an incredibly high blood alcohol level. Some reports say it's like 0.238, which is incredibly high. It's okay. At this time, after they tell the husband that she fell over some lawn edging, that's when they see the blunt force trauma. They go, oh, she must have fallen from the balcony, right? That's what killed her. Mm-hmm. So the cause of death is listed as multiple blunt force injuries and acute ethanol poisoning, which is acute ethanol intoxication, which is alcohol poisoning. So we do know based on the alarm system that she opened the door and closed it at 1:57 in the morning. Now, the question is if she... Some article, it was a little confusing, but I wasn't able to determine if it opened again and closed again or if it just opened and stayed open and then closed.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, that's what they believe happened. They believe she went out for a cigarette at 2:00 in the morning and she fell off the balcony. Maybe she was sick. Maybe she was.
So there's no railing on the balcony?
There's a 4-foot railing on the balcony.
Oh, I see. So is the idea that she was sitting on that railing and that
she might have been sitting.
She would fall.
Yeah,
you know, you can't be standing and fall over a railing that's 4 feet high.
If she's drunk and she falls over, if she's leaning over, maybe she's feeling sick. Maybe she tips over. I don't know. Yeah, they don't know.
Like,
I mean,
I'm
they'll
5 feet
know.
Tall. That's like up at my boobs. I can't lean.
Yeah.
Just like science says, gravity would not do that work.
Yeah. So at this point, the initial conversation her husband has, and then finding out that they changed it, that she fell, something just doesn't feel right with the family. They feel like she didn't get enough of an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They also don't like the initial autopsy findings. They think there's more. You know, it's not attributing this, like, cut on her wrist, things like that. What's also interesting is that her blood alcohol level being that extraordinarily high, there is videos of that night of her singing Happy Birthday, and someone with that high of a blood alcohol level would possibly be incoherent, would possibly be getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't totally add up with how within her faculties she is. I mean, she's having a bowl of gumbo with her friend leaving at 1:47 in the morning shortly before it. It just seems incongruous with this idea that she was so drunk she sat on the balcony, she sat on the railing and fell over. How could no one hear her fall, right? People went to bed at 1:30 in the morning. If she falls at 2:00 in the morning, was really nobody around to hear her? Could a 15 to 20 foot fall be really responsible for all these injuries that we see on her body? Additionally, the crime scene or the scene of the incident was not preserved, and the position her body fell in didn't look like she fell. So the way they described it is both of her feet were facing in one direction, her arm was at akimbo, and her head was at a place where it felt like she was placed there. Barrera, who made the initial 911 call, he told investigators that he touched the body and that he moved her leg while trying to figure out if she was alive. So that might account for the position that she was lying in. He also said in an interview that he found and moved the unlit cigarette and lighter that was on the deck before he saw her body. So now we have this, you know, lack of preservation and these last moments of her, as what the police say, these objects and all these things are moved, which just feels like it's not telling the whole story and nobody knows the whole story.
Mm.
Because the police believed the death was an accident, there was no evidence that was fingerprinted. And Barrera, Jose Barrera, on the call, he says that there were security cameras that were installed and they were pointed at the backyard, but the batteries were dead and the cameras were not recording.
Oh, interesting.
So while they have this like security system, this like there's no video. During the autopsy, they did not do a rape kit. They did not look for any evidence of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. They did not take any fingernail clippings. So these like cuts on her arm that they believe she got on the way down from this house, it also, they think it could have been defense wounds.
Mm-hmm.
The family calls for a second autopsy, and that is carried out by the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, the GBI. And while the autopsy is being done, because it takes time, it's not an overnight thing, news of this spreads on the internet and speculation of foul play spreads online. And one of the reasons they have to believe that there is foul play is because 2 months after her death, Jose Barrera, the person who called 911, he was fired from his job at the county court. He was a court officer. And they fired him because he was accessing the incident report internally on multiple occasions. So the incident report in relation to Tamla's death, he kept referring
to it. Feels like he's, like, tampering with it? Is that the...
Is that
alleged, or...?
They don't allege that he tampered with it, but the fact that he keeps going back to it, I don't know if he's tampering with it. He is fired.
What are you doing?
But what are you doing? Why do you keep going back to this incident report? Are you covering something up? Are you worried how something appears? And those can be true, right? Like, as soon as speculation of what happens, maybe he is checking to make sure nothing looks suspicious, but the fact that he goes back and looks is innately suspicious. Mm-hmm. He's also accessing a, am I saying that word right? Accessing?
Mm-hmm.
He's also accessing a report about a stalking incident involving his girlfriend. So I don't know if his girlfriend had alleged there was a stalker, but he's using his position in this court as a way to access these documents that he shouldn't be fucking accessing. Hundreds of people start sharing her hashtag calling for justice. Mm-hmm. This internal, this family requested second autopsy say that she has injuries to her head, neck, and torso. They mm-hmm. discover cuts to her face, wrist, hand, and lower legs and a laceration to the right ventricle of her heart. The toxicology report, they find THC, anxiety medication, and a blood alcohol level of 0.238, which again is extraordinarily high.
Mm-hmm.
The police would go on to interview 30 people, including friends, family, and other people at this party. However, on February 20th, your birthday.
I know.
2019. Over 2 months after her death, the case was officially closed and ruled as an accidental death.
Hmm.
The family is not happy with this.
No.
In relation to Jose Barrera, his lawyer says curiosity got the better of him. Our clients are completely innocent. This was not murder. This was not anything other than a tragic accident. They cite no foul play. The explanation from the police at the time of revealing this verdict, I don't know if it's a verdict, but revealing their findings is they said, this police officer, he goes, it's a party. There was drinking. She was drinking. Most of the partygoers had gone to bed at the time, and she was on the deck alone. The case was seemingly closed. This was in early 2019. Fast forward to over a year later, and it's 2020, and we are in the heat of the George Floyd anti-police brutality protests in 2020. And this woke up a lot of feelings that Tamla's case didn't get the attention or consideration it fully deserved. And just to highlight, at that time, we have Ahmaud Arbery, who is in Georgia. So we are in Georgia. We also have Breonna Taylor's case. So there's like a lot of names that are coming out and we're calling into question what happened around these cases. We have this black woman who died mysteriously and someone was on the inside and the police wrapped it up pretty quickly and the family was really dissatisfied with how that happened.
Yeah.
Also, to talk about where we are at locationally, we're in Cummings, Georgia. Now, Cummings, Georgia has a really bad history of racial injustice. It experienced a racial cleansing in 1912 when two black men were accused of crimes against white women and the whole black population was driven out. And it remained mostly white for decades later. White supremacists gathered there as recent as 1987. In 1990, there were only 14 black residents in the county. And as of, I think, the time of her death, 85% of the population was white.
Mm-hmm.
What's also interesting is in 2014, the coroner the deputy coroner at the time of her death, he resigned from the police force, a nearby police force, in 2014 after distributing photos of himself posing with mammy dolls. Ooh. 2 years later, he is in photos with the sheriff that is leading this campaign or leading this investigation. And after the sheriff gets elected, he is appointed deputy coroner. June 5th, 2020, Tamla's family attorney writes a letter to Tamla's husband, Leander, saying that according to his team's investigation into the details of the case, that it strongly suggests homicide. It said, witness statements are in conflict. A potential suspect handled the body as well as the evidence prior to law enforcement arriving. Evidence was disposed of and no inquiry followed. The scene was not preserved. He also says that her injuries were consistent with those of a physical struggle, but that the absence of photos from the initial autopsy prevented a definite conclusion. An Atlanta journalist published the letter a couple days later. And again, we are in this reckoning moment where once this hits the internet, it spreads like wildfire. Mm-hmm. At this point, some of the women at the sleepover are receiving death threats and accusations that they had a hand in her death. Protesters in Cummings, Georgia include her name alongside the other Black Americans who were killed by police. There is a change.org petition that is created to reopen the case, and it collects more than 700,000 signatures very quickly, including names like rappers T.I., 50 Cent, I guess Kim Kardashian. They all shared the case, and they're all asking for a second investigation, and it spreads extraordinarily quickly. Mm-hmm. 7 days after this letter was sent, the local police send a letter for the case to be reopened. The local police are like, hey, we stand by our investigation, but we understand it, and we're happy for you to reopen it, and we believe that it should be investigated by the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, the GBI, because we want a second impartial party to lead this investigation. We want an independent law enforcement agency. And the case was reopened June 18th. So this is happening very quickly. They spend the next year looking into the case, determining if there is any bad action, what happened. And a year later, July 28th, 2021, the investigation concluded and they decided not to pursue any criminal charges. And the case still remains that it was an accidental death.
Wow.
There is, of course, a lot of conspiracy theories online.
Yeah.
There is, of course, a lot of anger surrounding this case. And what's heartbreaking is that these six kids of hers, her daughter and her five children, and her youngest was four, lost a mother. She was the life of the party. She liked to laugh. She liked to dance. She liked to have fun. I don't know if she'll ever get justice, because at this point, I don't think there's not enough evidence to convict. Even if they believe that this person did something bad or nefarious, to prove it in the court of law, I think would be near impossible, considering the crime scene wasn't preserved and all these things that they should have taken from her, like nail clippings and things like that, they never did.
And now it feels like it's too late.
And it could have been an accident, but because we're not able to rule out the possibility based on evidence that was it, now we just are left with a big question mark over our heads and asking what did happen. And there's not a ton of information, right? Like, and I think obviously the racial politics play in part, one, because she is the only Black woman in this photo and in a historically racist town. Additionally, like, the way the police handled it as well felt like she was neglected and not cared for, and this case was not fully properly investigated as it should have been. It's also, we've talked about this too, it's a really small town, and I'm sure these police forces don't know how to necessarily, or they're not used to preserving a crime scene, perhaps, right? Like, we've talked about that with your dad, where it's like towns will not ask for help from bigger fish to come and help with these cases if they think it's open and shut. And in that leaves a lot of questions that are not answered and cannot be answered.
God, that's so stressful.
It is. And it's really sad because this family is left with a lack of closure and always asking the question, what happened?
And always feeling like maybe somebody did something and they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no justice. Ugh,
I hate that.
It's a really uncomfortable story. And I had seen it around a bit as well. And I was like, oh, I have to figure out. I wanted to get all the information. And I mean, I'm sure there's more theories on Reddit and stuff. It's just these reports that I read, they don't, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of information to be gleaned from it, you know? Yeah,
obviously not.
And the women at the party ended up, I think, suing her friend because her friend was going online and calling out these women. And so they were receiving death threats. Like,
wow.
The messiness of it, too, also, like, it affected. And it's just hard. It's just so sad.
Ugh, I hate that. What is that story? I hope one day they solve it magically. I mean, you never know. That can happen. Let's hold out hope.
That can happen. We hold out hope. We hold out hope that the family can get closure and whatever form of justice.
I got my story from Ranker, Wikipedia, and Murderpedia. And it's the story of Julia Martha Thomas, who was a school teacher, twice widowed.
And oh, no. Is she killing him?
It's the late 1800s, and no.
Yeah,
not that we know of. She's in Richmond, London. She has this cutie cottage next to a place called the Hole in the Wall Pub. Sounds so cute.
That's fun.
She's in her 50s. She's a smart dresser. People think she's eccentric because she does crazy things, Carrie, like leave town and not tell her friends. She just decides to travel sometimes. And then she'll come back and they'll be like, "You are wild, girl. You do whatever you want." And she's like, "You know what I do? And I don't have that much money, but I really like to have a maid." So on January in 1879, January 29th, she hires Kate Webster to be her servant. And Kate Webster's deal is she's like, "Hi, Julia. I used to be married to a sea captain and I had 4 kids, but all my kids died and my husband died. And it's really sad." And she's like, "Okay, I'll hire you."
1800s, though, so like everybody's husband dies at sea, right?
Yeah, she's like, "I've had 2 husbands die. Relax, Kate. Like,
been there, done that, Kate."
Been there. But Kate's real deal is that she moved all around London with all kinds of aliases: Webb, Webster, Gibbs, Gibbons, Lawler. She's always getting arrested. The first time was when she was 15 for larceny, and then she spent some time in Wandsworth prison, and then she got arrested for larceny again and got another imprisonment. It's just, if you look at her track record, she's just getting arrested a lot for larceny. Julia doesn't do a background check and she's like, "Hey, you got the job."
In the 1800s,
they just like, she doesn't get on Google at all, would you believe?
What an idiot. She doesn't go on LinkedIn even.
She doesn't go on LinkedIn. She's just hires this woman that says she's a widower. And she's working there for 2 months, and Julia's feeling like, "You're not good at this."
I have notes.
And Kate's running around complaining about Julia, saying that Julia annoys her all the time. She's like, "God, my boss is like on my ass saying I'm not doing a good job and following me and being like, you're doing that wrong." And she's like, "I don't like her." So they don't like each other. And
which is exactly what you want as a live-in nanny, as a live-in maid. Absolutely. Live-in maid.
Not a good job. She'll make her redo a room because she'll come into the room and check it and be like, "You know, Kate, it's not clean. So could you actually clean it this time?" And Kate will be like, "God, you're such a bitch." So finally, after a couple of months, Julia says to Kate, "Look, you're fired. Like, it's not going great." Or according to her journal, she says, "Today I gave Catherine warning to leave." And Kate says, "Can I stick around and work for you till March 2nd, just a couple more weeks?" And Julia's like, Yeah, that's fine.
Oh.
Okay, but this Sunday, you usually have half a day off, and then you come and you help me get ready for church. So do that. And Kate's like, yeah. And then Kate goes to a bar all morning. Love what she does on her day off. And then comes in the afternoon, but really late.
She's at the Hole in the Wall Pub?
Definitely. They have a really big fight when Kate gets there. And then Julia shows up in church and is telling everybody, "Oh, that Kate, like, she was late. She made me late for church. We had this big fight. She is just the worst." And she says that when I reprimanded her when she got home late, and she went nuts on me. "Ah, I can't wait till this woman is out of my hair." She shows up home from church around 9 o'clock, and Kate's there. And according to Kate, she says, that Julia came in, went upstairs. I storm after her. We have a big fight. And at the height of us having this altercation, I just throw her down the damn stairs. And she gets really upset. And I get upset. And I lost control of myself. And I don't want her to scream. She's screaming at me. So I then strangle her and choke her and throw her down on the floor.
Whoa. This just feels like so it mad escalated at her. So fast.
I'm very, very mad at her. And according to the neighbors, they did hear a big thud next door that they thought was a chair falling over. And the next thing that Kate decides to do, because now she's killed Julia, is to chop her head off with a razor and
with a razor,
a meat saw and a carving knife and cut up the whole body and then boil water in a copper pot and put a lot of the body inside to boil it. And she said, I opened the stomach with a carving knife. I burned up as much of the parts as I could. Meanwhile, the neighbors were like, wow, something smells very, very bad. And she can't fit Julia's head and feet into these containers she's trying to take to throw everything out. She's trying to throw everything in the garbage in a nearby town. And she can't fit it all. So she's getting creative. She buries the head under the hole in the wall stables, which is close to their house. And then, right after killing her and disposing of a bunch of the body, she goes to see her old neighbors, the Porters, who she hasn't seen in 6 years. And she shows up wearing Julia's clothes and has, like, Julia's luggage, which has remains of Julia in it. She's like, hi, you guys. I'm Miss Thomas. And they're like, oh, we haven't seen you in a long time. And she's like, yes, now I'm Miss Thomas. I'm married. I had a kid. Oh, but then I was widowed and I got left this really nice house in Richmond by my aunt. Do you guys want to go to a bar with me? I love going to bars. And they were like, okay. And then on the way to the bar, she's like, hang on, I just have to get rid of this bag I have, and throws it in the River Thames while they go inside the bar to drink. So they don't see her do this, but she like trashes the body. It's never recovered, this part of the body. And then she asks the young son, can you help me carry this box from the cottage I inherited from my aunt to the train station? And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they start to carry it. And as they go across a bridge, she's like, actually, let's just throw it in the river. Red flags abound.
Oh, my God.
And it said that she explained that away in a way that didn't make him suspicious. I'm so curious to be like, help me carry this box across town. And then be like, you know what? We're over the river. Let's just throw it in. Let's throw it in. I just want to see.
I'm going to do something crazy.
It's wild.
Should we just
go to the pub? You know what? Throw it in. Let's go to the pub.
Let's go to the pub. Fuck it.
Well, that box, they do find it gets washed on a bank and the police get called right away. And they're like, this is the trunk of a body minus the entrails inside and a leg minus a foot of a woman. Around that same time, another leg is found. And they're like, this is the same person. We're finding this person's body parts everywhere, but they still don't know who it is. So they dub it the Barnes mystery, where they're not sure who this person is, but their body has been chopped up and they're finding them all over the place. There's a rumor that people start at some point that also...
That's how Kate rumors
supposedly
start. The rumors do start at some point.
They start at some point and they travel wide and far. That she boiled the body down to make lard. It said it was pig fat, but it was really Julia. And that she fed it to some people and that she sold it to a pub and said this was her best drippings from like cooking. Like, do you want to use it for the pub?
I'm out. Okay, keep going.
I can't imagine she did that. It's too impractical. She's not...
Is she
goofing around. I mean, she's just trying to like She's just taking advantage. She's trying to get away with murder. She's trying to wear her clothes and live in her house. She's not trying to, as a hobby, do a weird make people eat her thing. I don't think it's true. But for weeks after she kills Julia, she lives as Julia in her home, wearing her clothes, calling herself Miss Thomas, and dealing with people that won't know and saying that it's her. And then she makes a deal with somebody to sell Julia's furniture and a bunch of other stuff for a pub he's opening called the Rising Sun. It really is called the Rising Sun. And
that was so good, Quinn.
Thank you. But the neighbors do know who Julia is, and they haven't seen her in a few weeks. And they start asking delivery guys that are pulling shit out of the house. They're like, who asked you to take this? And they're like, Miss Thomas, Julia Thomas did. And the neighbors think to themselves, but we haven't seen Julia Thomas. Who are you talking about? And then at some point, one of these delivery men is able to point out Kate Webster. And that's when the goose is cooked. And they're like, oh, but Kate sees it happen and is like, yee, and runs and beats it. And so the police get called and they search the cottage, and there's blood stained. There's burnt finger bones inside the fire, and there are fatty deposits inside the copper pot, which is probably where the rumor got started. There's also a letter left by Kate, foolishly, that has her home address in Ireland. So they now know who she is and where she's from. They give a description of her. She does have a son. They're on the lookout for them. And they figure out that they're in Ireland, or they're riding to Ireland currently on a steamer. They beat them over there and get them. Another piece of evidence that seals the deal is that there's a bonnet maker named Maria Durden. And
I want to be very clear. Quinn says bonnet because Koa calls it a bonnet.
A bonnet.
It's so cute. It's so cute.
And don't you picture she just makes bandanas? You're like, huh.
And wears them like a little babushka.
A bonnet maker named Maria talks to the cops and says, here's the thing. Before Julia was killed, a week before, I was talking to Kate, and she was telling me that she had a bunch of property and jewelry that her aunt had left her, and she was in the market to sell it, which to them is now is like, oh, this is premeditated. You knew you were going to do this. This was not a heat of passion. You knew when she got home from church you were going to kill her. You just didn't know how. You were sticking around once she fired you to find an opportunity to murder her. So they go to Kate and they say, is there any reason we shouldn't kill you? Because it's the 1800s. We think we should kill you. And she says, actually, I'm so glad you asked. So glad you flagged that. I'm pregnant. And they don't know what to do about that because it's still the 1800s in this story. So in church, they're like, raise your hand if you're a woman. Come here, women. Let's get a group of you. Name a woman. Let's get a... And they're like, you got to tell us if this broad's quick with child. And they're like, quick with child? And they're like, this is how we talk. It means really about to have a baby. And so they get sworn in, and so does a surgeon, and they all go into a back room and they all examine Kate, and they come back and they're like, so we don't know if she's pregnant because there's no way we could know that, but she's not quick with child. Like, she's not about to give birth to a baby, we think. And they're like, okay, 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 okay. And this...
duped this, by a woman's organs once again.
Once again. The president of the Obstetrical Society of London says that then protests, and I quote, the obsolete medical assumption that the unborn child is not alive until the so-called quickening. So basically saying she could be pregnant. It's really wacky where you guys are drawing this line. And also, what are all these women doing just... saying their feelings fingering about whether her. This way. Yes, it's like, so just, bizarre. It's beyond.
It's so weird.
They're like, I don't feel anything. It's just, it's not great. So they're like, we're going to kill you. Is there anything you have to say? And she's like, yes, it was actually the father of my child who made me do this. He's really abusive. He makes me do terrible things all the time. He's led me into a life of crime, but it's all pressure to do things for him. And they're like, okay, tomorrow you die. And then the next day she says, okay, it was actually just me. I take full responsibility. And it wasn't anybody else. I'm the guy. And they're like, yeah, we kind of knew that. And then they hang her at Wandsworth Prison. And the hangman uses a newly developed method he's excited to try called the long drop technique. And it will make her die instantly instead of hanging there till she dies. So they make her, I imagine it's a long drop is the technique. Aptly named.
How did you find that?
I reasoned through it. I just looked at the keywords in the sentence and started to picture what that might mean. Yeah. So after they are like, yep, you're dead. We don't know if you're pregnant, but we do know you're dead. They bury her in an unmarked grave in the prison exercise yard, which seems strange. And
well, it's two birds with one stone. You can kind of get people are working out, digging a hole.
I guess. That's their gym.
That's their
gym. So they roll a big black flag over the prison wall and everybody cheers and knows that justice has been done. This was a very, very big story at the time. All the press is covering it.
Because it's a woman who's killing people. People love that shit.
And did you know Madame Tussauds was around? They create a wax of her.
No.
Yeah. And they're like, do you want to see the Richmond murderess? And there's songs that people sing. I don't know to what melody, but that's never stopped me before. The terrible crime at Richmond at last on Catherine Webster now has been cast. Tried and found guilty, she's sentenced to die. From the strong hand of justice, she cannot fly. She's tried all excuses, but to no avail. About this and murder, she's told many tales. She's tried to throw blame on others as well. But with all her cunning, at last she has fell.
Wow, Quinlan H.J. Posner. Really incredible work. And yes, you. Your middle initials are HJ.
Yes, of course. And then there's more rumors, would you believe it, that people are seeing a ghostly nun that hovers over where Julia Thomas was buried, which is only weird because I don't think Julia was a nun. So I'm like, there's just a ghost Catholic, nun praying over
she
her.
She was Irish. She could have been Catholic. And so they're like, a nun.
Remember that they didn't find all of her, right?
Yes, of Julia.
This is where it gets even weirder. Flash forward, 1952. Guess who buys a house right by the Mayfield Cottages, like next door to the Mayfield Cottages where this murder took place?
Alan Rickman.
David Attenborough.
Fun.
Yes, next to the Hole in the Wall pub, which closed in 2007, but
sad. Pubs are closing in the UK. It's hard.
But it was bought by David Attenborough, and he's like, I'm going to redevelop this adorable pub. Thank you for using your money for good, Sir David Attenborough. Oh, Sir David Attenborough, I forgot to say.
Speak with distinction.
So that he moves in, and then in October of 2010, they're excavating to help build out this pub. And they find a woman's skull that had been buried there for a very long time. Could be even 133 years. It was at least 40. And everybody's like, I bet that's Julia Thomas's. No one ever found her head. And that broad Kate Webster said she buried it here. And so they asked the Richmond police, like, what should we do with this head? And they're like, we'll look into it. And then they do carbon dating. And they're like, this skull is from between 1650 and 1880, and it has fracture marks that are consistent with Kate's story of how Julia died, and it has low collagen levels, which means it could have been boiled for a time before being deposited here. And they conclude, like, we can't do DNA testing, but we're going to say this is Julia's head. Sir David Attenborough.
Whoa. I was shocked when she decapitated the body when you said with a razor.
And she used a lot of tools.
I know, but the razor, I was like, oh my God.
She did phrase it that she just used a razor for the head, but then she pulled out all that other stuff for the rest of the body. And I'm like, I'm kind of editorializing because I'm like, bitch, there's no way you had all those other tools and you used the razor for the head. I don't buy it. The whole thing's shocking. And that's the story.
Whoa, that's incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, thank you for telling that story. You told it in such a good way. You told it in such a fun way.
Thank you.
Good work.
And I sang.
And you sang.
What a hero.
Give the people what they want. Truly a hero.
Give the what they want.
We should stop recording and we should record our Patreon episode.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Bye, dear readers.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.